We're doing the Ramban, Doshat Torah Hashem Temima. And the Ramban had been quoting from the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim about why the Torah has to write all kinds of stories. And the Ramban continues, the Ramban tells us in the concept of the Mabul, we were discussing why we need the generations, the genealogy to be recorded in the Torah. And this is still a continuation of that quote from the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim. Why does the Torah have to tell us about the Mabul? Lo'ot al Ashgacha, points to the concept of Ashgacha, that God's watching over our actions, v'la'idea kodemet, and that God knows about things that will happen before they occur. Just like God forewarns about the Mabul 120 years before it comes. V'hem oda lichidush, v'alinyan onish v'sachar, and they're also, so to speak, a declaration of the Torah about God's creating the world and the fact that God also gives wages and punishment. And also the Torah's recording of the justice brought down on Sodom and Amorah also points to this concept. And we discussed that we can get the general lesson, the general hashkafa we're supposed to have about what's happening in the world. We don't know necessarily how to apply this specifically to say, well, this happened here because of this and that because of that. But the general outlook, we're supposed to understand. There's a reason behind why there's a tsunami or an earthquake or a volcano. There's a reason behind it, just like the Torah reveals the reason in Sodom and Amorah. V'sipel bo tzidkat Avraham, and over there also the Torah records that out of Avram's righteousness, God saved his nephew Lot. U'kmo shaver lefaneinu, and the Rambam says over there, just as I'll explain in this book of Mor Nevuchim. V'inyan mishpachot bnei Seir, nechtav v'avu mitzvah shnitztvin limchot zecher Amalek. The concept of the families of Seir is because we have the mitzvah to wipe out Amalek. U'shav bnei Esav shalon tevotam, and we shouldn't hate the other children of Esav. I think we did this last week, right? Or we didn't do it? Okay. So, that's a fascinating concept. Esav married Seir's children, the Chori, like the Torah says. He had children from them. He ended up being king over them. And the children married into one another, like the Torah records. Why does the Torah go to efforts to tell us who came from whom? Shelo yalgu kulam, that they shouldn't all be killed. We have a mitzvah to wipe out Amalek. So the Torah wanted that mitzvah to be very focused. Amalek is one grandson of Esav. Esav has many grandchildren. Esav has many nephews and nieces, and they're all one big family. We have a mitzvah only to kill Amalek. So here the Rambam tells us, so to speak, that the Torah, out of compassion, focused and gave us verses to explain to us the genealogy so that we know exactly who is Amalek and, more importantly, who is not Amalek. So that we don't do mass murder. No, we have a specific mitzvah with regard to Amalek. But we're very careful with that, not to kill other children from Esav. V'zeh yosher v'chemna u'mitzvah. This is straight, this is honest, this is compassion, this is the mitzvah. V'amnachim shekatav shemalchu be'erz Edom, katvam narot ki Esav utzach lavim umot acherot limnoch aleihem. And the recording of the kings, that's to point out that Esav could not produce his own kings. He had to import kings. Lo ki Yisrael shu'ahuv, not like the Jewish people that are loved before God. V'nitztavan, we have a special mitzvah, lo tuchal latet alecha ish nochri, that we may not appoint a leader who is a foreigner. The leader has to be a Jew. We're not allowed to appoint a king who's not. Ve'od erich b'zeh u'piresh inyan arichut elem ase bnei Yisrael. He also goes to great length explaining the concept of why the Torah records our travelings. Because that, the Rambam says, that points to the great miracle. How could 2 million people survive in the desert? You hear that, you say, well, they went from oasis to oasis. The Torah records exactly where we traveled for 40 years and how many years we stayed in each location. Go check out those locations, says the Rambam. Show me how 2 million people could survive in this desert. The only way they could survive, once you know the way they traveled, you understand they had to have the man, they had to have the air. It was a miraculous journey of 40 years. So the Torah specifically explained the journeys so that we'd understand this is one of the miracles that attests to the truth of the Torah. Let's remember, we have the Torah from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's not something that was written a thousand years later and then you could write whatever you want happened. We have the Torah from the time of Moshe, and the Torah records exactly what happened. If someone would want to fudge, he can't fudge 2 million people going through a desert and having man in the air. These are miracles that are too great. So the Rambam says that's why the Torah had to record the journeys. V'chol anirah b'Torah miyutar, anything you might think is superfluous in the Torah, pirshoy yafeh zal, the Rambam explained it nicely. So the Ramban over here quotes in the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim, and he says, I don't think there's anything extra. Umikol makom, but nonetheless. Besipur mishpachot rishonot hora al hacharat zera kain achotev abogid. In the recording of the first families, the Torah also tells us about how Cain, who had sinned, and Cain, who was a traitor, how his children were ultimately cut down. But because Cain was subservient, he was willing to put himself down before God. After God told him, "You sinned," he put his head down and said, "Yes, I did," and he did do a certain level of tshuva. So God had compassion, and God held off his justice for seven generations. V'yesh b'inyan hevel sod gadol misodot haTorah, within the concept of Hevel, who was murdered, there's a great secret, one of the secrets of the Torah. V'achakach hu'atak lesipur toldot haAdam, and the Ramban says, even though the Rambam's explanation is beautiful, I could add a point or two, why the Torah had to tell us all of these things. So he's saying, point number one is the genealogy teaches us about Cain, how God punished the family of Cain. There was a long-term punishment here. After seven generations, Cain was killed. And then about Hevel, there's a deep secret. And then the Torah tells us the genealogy of man, to tell us, where did this righteous person, Noah, where did he come from? He was the foundation of the world. The whole world begins with Noah. It's like a new creation. So the Torah tells us where he came from. That's why the Torah tells us his genealogy back to Adam. V'sipur Enosh, and then the Torah tells us about Enosh, az uchal likrov b'shem Hashem, that in Enosh's time, they started calling people by God's name. People started having names, Mahalal El, they were given names that ended with the El, with God's name, and that was a sign of the times, that people started looking for emissaries, they started looking for representations of God down below, which was the roots of idol worship. Initially, idol worship began as a service of angels. They wanted to use God's name a lot. So they said, "Ooh, this is holy. This is a representation of God. We'll bow down to Him. We'll get His blessing." And that's what led to idol worship. And our sages' tradition, that's really what weighs down the scale in teaching us how to understand. We go with their tradition. Because Chazal had a tradition with regard to everything. Chazal say that the people of Enosh's times, they made themselves into idols. That's why they used God's name in their name. Mitushael, Mahalalel, Mechialel, or Mchuyael. They used God's name in their name because they claimed that they were gods. Ve'ilu haya pashut kedibrei Rabbi Ibn Ezra, Rabbi Avraham, shuchal litpalel Hashem. The Ibn Ezra says, pshat is, az uchal likro b'shem Hashem. That's when they began calling out in God's name. He says, pshat is, that's when they started praying in Enosh's generation. So that's not the tradition we have, but that's what Ibn Ezra says is pshat. Says the Ramban, and if it were really like he says, v'chi adam ma'aseh adav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo yitpalel Hashem, is it conceivable that Adam, who knew he was created by God, he knew he was the beginning of the world, he looked around, he saw everyone that lived in the world were his children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, he never prayed to God? V'shet b'no lo kara b'shem elokav, and his son Shet, who the Torah says went in his footsteps, he was righteous, he never called out in God's name. V'alo hevel evi mincha, we find that Hevel brought a sacrifice, v'afilu kain arasha kriv korban, and even Cain the wicked brought a sacrifice before God. So how could it be that they didn't pray to God before the door of Enosh? So the Ramban says, I don't accept Ibn Ezra's explanation. Azu chaliko b'shem Hashem, then they began calling in God's name, that's when they started prayer. No, they started calling in God's name means it's a derogatory reference to that generation. That generation started naming human beings as gods, and that's the explanation. In Enosh's time, they devolved into idol worship.
But Enoch was tzaddik.
Chanoch, right? Chanoch was righteous, but the masses.
He was taken by God.
Yeah. וקיצר הכתוב בזה שלא לפרש עניין עבודה זרה, and the pasuk shortened this. The pasuk doesn't go into details because the pasuk doesn't want to go into details with regard to the idol worship. כי הכתוב מעלים דעות רעות, the pasuk hides, so to speak, bad thoughts that people think improper thoughts. ואינו רוצה להאריך בהן, and it doesn't want to spend time going into what they thought, what they believed. אבל לפי מה שהראו הכתובים, היו להם עניינים לשדים, לא אלוה. But according to the verses, it seems like they knew how to draw down forces from the demons that are not God. ופירש התרגום, and the Targum explains, why does the Pasuk says, לשדים לא אלוה, the demons that are not God, דלת בון צרוך, that they are unnecessary. לומר, to tell us, שהשדים אין בעבודתם שום תועלת, that in the service and the worship of demons, a person gains nothing. ואין בידם נתיבו להרע, they can't do good, they can't do bad, ולא להגיד העתידות, nor to tell the future, רק עתידה קרובה ידעו ויגידו. What they could tell us is something that's about to happen. You want long-term information. When is the economy going to come back? So if it's within the next 2-3 months, they might know. Short-term, the demons do know. You want to know short-term, they'll tell you. But long-term, they don't know. כמו שכתוב, יודעים מה שעתיד להיות כמלאכי השרת. The Talmud tells us in Chagiga, they know what's happening. The demons know what's about to happen, like the angels serving before God. The Talmud questions, Yodin Sakadaitach, do you think they really know? Ela Shomin, but rather they're up there in heaven, so they hear what's declared. So they hear, so that's how they know. Vehem adwim anishmahim ma'poreh pagod, and those are the things that you could hear, so to speak, from beyond the curtain. There's this curtain, that behind that curtain in heaven, they decree what's about to happen. So, ha'hovim bota sha'a, anishmahim b'rosh Hashanah, what's about to happen, what could be heard on Rosh Hashanah, that's what they hear. Kamosh katub perk mishmeto bin shamot. And that's what the Talmud tells us in Brachos. We just learned it 2 weeks ago, that there were two spirits, two girls that passed away, and they were also able to drift up to heaven and hear what happened beyond the curtain to know what was decreed, what kind of year that year would be. And that's what the people who know how to swear and make the demons come up, they also say that they only know the near future. And to this concept also we have to add the concept that the Torah prohibits serving, burning incense before the dead. Because when people resurrect, when people bring back spirits from the dead, those spirits, how do they know what's about to happen? Because they also hear, like we just said, they hear what the declarations of what's about to happen. V'inyan avodah zarah is where we'll pick up. So the Ramban over here gave us a tremendous insight as to why the Torah tells us the genealogy, the importance of the Mabul, the importance of learning the basics of faith from the Mabul and Sodom and Amorah, and understanding that Noah was the beginning of the world just like Adam, so the Torah gave us his genealogy. And then understanding why Chazal's explanation as to what happened in Enosh's generation, that's really the only explanation that makes sense. He doesn't accept Ibn Ezra's explanation that they started praying then, but rather he says that's when they started idol worship. And then he says what the idol worship they did was that they were able to take down powers from the demons. And then in short he explains that the demons and the spirits, and when one speaks to the dead, what they could tell a person is the things that they overhear up in heaven, those declarations that are made, what kind of year that year would be. Yeah?
Why is that about Zerah to act with those guys as opposed to like